you, Judy. Open your Bibles here this morning, the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 says, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with longsuffering, bearing one another in love. Let's pray here this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you for our scripture we have before us. And Lord, as we look at this topic of walking in unity, and Father, thank you for the Word of God, which is true. Thank you for the power of the Word of God to redeem men, to encourage men, to strengthen us, to give us wisdom and divine understanding of reality and truth. So Lord, bless us this morning as we gather around your Word. Father, may you be honored and glorified. May the name of Jesus Christ be high and lifted up. May the power of the Holy Spirit be evident here among us. So, Lord, I, as your vessel, Lord, pray that you be honored and glorified. And, Lord, we just ask that each of us would have ears to hear and eyes to see and a heart to embrace all that you have for us as your people. So, Lord, bless our time as we gather around your heavenly manna. Feed us, and, Lord, be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We live in a divided nation. Would that be an understatement? No, not at all. We have Democrats against Republicans, Republicans against Democrats. We have parents against school board meetings. Is that true? Absolutely. We have gun owners against those who want to ban guns. A divided nation. We have pro-life groups against abortion groups and abortion groups against pro-life groups. We live in a divided nation. We have racial tensions in our nation. We have homosexual groups that rail against traditional value groups. We live in a divided nation. We have socialism against capitalism. We have conservative news outlets against liberal news outlets. We have groups that want to wear masks and those groups that don't want to wear masks. Anybody know what I'm talking about here? Yes. We live in a divided nation. Do I get the COVID shot or I don't get the COVID shot? We live in a divided nation. Christian values against secular values, class warfare, rich against poor, poor against rich. The list could go on and on and on. Do we live in a divided nation? We do. We do. Is there any hope for our nation? Ah, Jim says there's hope. Is there hope?
Yes,
there's hope. Absolutely, there's hope. Yes, we do have hope as God's people. And as believers, we know the scriptures. Is there hope for our political landscape? Is there hope for a divided family? Is there hope for individuals, hearts that are divided? Yes, there is. Absolutely, there's hope. Look at the book of Ephesians here. This is a very practical book. When you get into Ephesians 4, chapters 1, 2, and 3 dealt with doctrine, and the duty of man comes out in verse 1 of chapter 4 and following. Paul shifts from doctrine to duty. You get into Ephesians chapter 4. He starts telling us, how do we do the Christian life? How do we do it? Now, unity is important. If you destroy Christianity in America, you're going to destroy America, because Christianity is what makes America unified. Because at the cross of Christ, the ground is what? Level. All are accepted. All are accepted. And if you want to divide America, attack Christianity. And Satan has done a very good job of that. And now, because, see, Scripture has a lot to say about unity and about how we treat one another and how we should live with one another. Because once you destroy Christianity in America, it is so easy to destroy the nation because we become divided. Christianity, the teachings of Christ, is what brings unity to people. Now, is unity easy to achieve? No, not by any means. It's not easy. What do we have to do to get there? Is there things we have to do to get there and to keep it? It's been well said, and I've said it many times, all that's necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. What does God want good men to do? Well, when it comes to unity, unity requires sacrifice. Now, I want to read a verse here, and then I want to talk about it. Point one, unity requires sacrifice. Look at verse 1, chapter 4. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. Stop right there. How was Paul promoting unity? Well, how did he follow the Lord? The Apostle Paul was a minister to who? The Gentiles. He was Jewish. He went to the Gentiles. How did Jewish people feel about Paul bringing Gentile people into the kingdom of God, one after the other? They said, except they keep the law of Moses, they can't be what? Saved. They can't be believers in God. They don't keep the law of Moses, the ceremonial laws of Moses. They don't act like we act. Paul said, whoa, wait a minute here. What did Peter do when the Judaizers came? And Barnabas even caught away with this. They separated themselves from who? The Gentiles. When the Judaizers came, Peter kind of felt a little uncomfortable because he was associating with Gentiles. And Paul came up and said, if you being a Jew and live after the manner of the Gentiles, why commandest thou the Gentiles to live after the manner of Jews? He stood Peter to the face and said, you can't do that. Why? Because that attacked the unity of what? The church. You weren't going to have Jews against Gentiles and Gentiles against Jews. We're one in Christ. And Paul, he says, I'm a prisoner of who? The Lord. Why was he a prisoner? Because when he stood on those steps and spoke to the people when they arrested him in Jerusalem, as soon as he spoke that one word, the crowd went crazy. What was that one word? He said, I was sent to who? The Gentiles. And they blew up. They just blew up. They couldn't understand how God could love the Gentiles. Now, Paul was trying to keep unity in the church, in the body of Christ. He says, you know why I'm a prisoner? Because God called me to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. And I'm a prisoner today because of that. But how did he see himself? What does he say here? And he says in verse 1, I therefore the prisoner of who? The Lord. Hey, God's hand is in all this. I tried to take Jew and Gentile and bring them together into one church in Christ, because that is the truth of the gospel. Jesus Christ loved the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not what? Perish, but have what? Everlasting life. That's what he defended with his life. He says, I want this unity to happen. He says, now I'm a prisoner of the Lord, because he couldn't get a fair trial when he was in the land of Judea. He was a prisoner of the Lord. He was doing what God called him to do. It required sacrifice. The Maritime Prison in Rome, 18-inch hole. They drop you down in there, in the hole. That's the prison. That's where Paul was, in that prison in Rome. It's where they kept prisoners. They let their food down through the hole. Now, verse 1, I therefore the prisoner of the Lord. Does Paul have any regrets? He's a prisoner of the Lord in a Roman prison. Does he have regrets? No. He made the sacrifices to keep Jews and Gentiles together. That was a tough road back then, because the Judaizers, they were pounding people. You can't bring these Gentiles into the body of Christ, the church. They don't live like we live. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. Now, he made sacrifice. Look, what does verse 2 say, or the end of verse 1, the middle of verse 1, the second part of verse 1? Beseech you to walk what? Worthy. Well, wait a minute here. Do you mean I have to may have to make some sacrifices to promote unity in the body of Christ, to further God's kingdom? Paul's saying, I, therefore, hey, I'm looking at you. You look at my life. Look at the sacrifices I made to move God's kingdom forward. I urge you, I entreat you, I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with you were called. Now, for Jesus Christ, going to the road of Calvary when he was hung on that cross. Was that an easy road for him to walk? No, that was not an easy road for him to walk. Could he have called 12 legions of angels down to defend himself? He could have. He could have. But he didn't. That was a hard road to walk. Was that an easy road for Paul to walk, knowing that he was a prisoner simply because he obeyed God and went to the Gentiles and preached the gospel? Was that an easy road for him? That was not an easy road for him. And if we want to further God's kingdom, if we want to keep unity in the body of Christ, if we want to be God's servant, Paul is saying, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, I've made this sacrifice. I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you are called. God calls us out of darkness into the kingdom of what? Light. We're to live as children of light, not of darkness. Is there pleasure in sin? Yes. There is. But it's only for what? A season. Yeah, you can have pleasure in sin, but it's only for a season. For the true blood-bought believer in Jesus Christ, when temptation knocks at the door, who should you send to the door? Yes, you just send Jesus to the door. Christ in me. I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to walk worthy of the calling. Jesus Christ was a son of God, a holy man. I'm going to be a man of God too. I'm going to walk worthy. I'm going to not shame. Now, have you ever known anybody that has disgraced the name of Christ? Have you ever known anybody that once preached the gospel but has now denied the faith and turned from it, either through sin or bad doctrine? I've known people like that. How do you think that, what does that do to God's holy name? What do unbelievers do then? They just what? Mock God and laugh God and make fun of him. What is verse 1? I beseech you to walk what? Worthy of the calling with which you were called. Now, God says there's no temptation taking you such as common to what? Man. But he has made a way of what for you? A way of what? Escape. You don't have to fall prey to temptation anymore. God can make a way of escape for you because you can walk worthy of the calling which you were called. I tell you the way of escape. It's so easy sometimes. Joseph and Potiphar's wife, what was his way of escape? Two what? Two legs. That's it. That was his way of escape. Just get out of there. It is so simple sometimes. That's the way of escape. You're tempted? Just get out of there. Flee youthful what? Lust. A way of escape. Does God give us a way of escape? You see something on the TV set or your screen that isn't appropriate? There's a button called OFF. Do you know where that is? Boop. Cut it off. That's a way of what? Escape. So simple. If you really want to get serious, just unplug the whole thing, you know. Just be done with it. That's a way of escape. Because God doesn't want us to be tempted. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk what? Worthy. I don't want to disgrace God. I don't know about you, but guess what? I want to finish well. Do you want to finish well? I want to finish well. Now, Satan would want us not to finish well, but I want to finish well. I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling. God called us to himself. He called us into holiness and righteousness with which you were called, our salvation. When Paul got saved on his knees, he said, Lord, what will you have me to do? That was his heart's cry. And when you get saved, that should be our heart's cry. Lord, what will you have me to do? That's our calling. What has God called you to do? Now, unity requires sacrifice for the body of Christ, the kingdom of God, our oneness together. United we stand, divided we what? Fall. A nation, a church, a family, even a divided heart can fall. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his what? All of his ways. He's unstable. He thinks one thing one time. It depends who he's with. He thinks another way, can't make up his mind. He's unstable in all of his ways. God would have us to be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because our work and labor is not in vain in the Lord. Okay, point one, unity requires sacrifice. That's what Paul did, that's what Jesus Christ did, and that's what you need to do in order to be united together in God's kingdom. Because down in verse 3 here, it says, endeavoring to keep the unity of what? The Spirit. See, that's the goal, because you don't want to grieve the Spirit of God. You don't want to quench the Spirit of God. Everybody that's in unity with the Spirit of God is working together, because there's only one Spirit. And that Spirit speaks the same truth to you and to others for the good of the body of Christ, for the edifying the body of Christ, of building it up, that unity of the Spirit we want. So how do we get the unity of the Spirit? Look in verse 2. What is the qualification for those, the requirements of those who want to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh? How do we get this unity that we can work together as one united team in God's church, Jews, Gentiles, whoever it may be, whatever your social background, whatever your economic background, whatever your racial background? How do we work together when we get saved? Okay, verse 2 tells us, with all lowliness. That's another way of saying humility. John Bunyan said, he who is low need fear no fall. Does that make sense? You understand spiritually what that means? He who is low spiritually need fear. When you think you're all this and you put yourself way up high, can God cut your feet out from under you? Ask Nebuchadnezzar when he thought he was, I have built this kingdom for my glory. What happened to him a very short time later? He was out eating grass, what? Like a cow. Okay, God brought him down and humbled him. When he was way down, what did he do? He said, I lifted mine eyes toward heaven. Can God do that? It's much better to keep yourself low than to put yourself high, and God has to bring you low before he can bring you up high again. He who exalts himself shall be what? Humbled. But he who humbles himself shall be what? Exalted. God will lift you up. So, point one, unity requires sacrifice. Jesus Christ, Paul, many others. Point two, unity requires humility. Humility. Now, why is that important? You ever heard, there's all chiefs and no Indians in this room? Do you know what that means? There's all chiefs and no Indians? Because if everybody's a chief, guess what? You got a problem. You got a huge problem on your hands. And God ordains leadership. God ordains leadership. Whether it's in the church or in a nation, God ordains leadership. But we need to have a humble attitude. Now, how is Jesus Christ humble? Turn to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 2, talking about the humility of Christ. How was he humble? Verse 5. Well, not sure where to pick this up at. You can start in verse 3. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. Self-promotion, selfish ambitions or conceit. But with lowliness of mind, there you have it again, humility. Let each esteem better than who? Himself. You know, one way to express your ideas is just say, in my opinion, this is how I feel. Now, why is that a good way to express your ideas? Because what are you doing to somebody else's idea? You're giving them what? Respect. If you stand up and say, this is the way it should be, and I'm telling everybody we need to do it this, blah, 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 on and on, because you may not have the whole picture or the whole understanding, and you may think you're so right when you may be half right. The best thing to do is say, in my opinion, this is what I think. And that way you respect others around you for their opinions too. selfish ambition. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem better than his own selves. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interests of who? Of others. Okay, when I'm humble, I'm not just concerned about me, myself, and I, but I'm concerned about your needs. And how do we get there? Verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, he had all power and authority. He could command the winds and the waves to be still. He could command Lazarus to come out of the grave. Did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. There was no inequality. He was as much God as he was man, as much man as he was God, but made himself of no what? Reputation. Do you care what other people think about you? And we do it a certain extent. But when it comes to me being a Christian, I can't be ashamed of the gospel. I can't worry about what people think about me as a Christian, because I know Jesus Christ died publicly for me. And if I love him, I'm not going to be ashamed. And I have to sometimes, what are people going to think about me if they find out I'm a Christian? I got to let that go. My reputation, whatever they think about me, I have to let that go because I belong to him. And Jesus Christ made himself of no reputation. You know, talking about blindness, when Jesus was dying on the cross for the sins of the world, what did they say at the foot of the cross at him? He's forsaken by God. He's cursed. He's hanging on a tree. And they thought it was Jesus' sins while he was there. He was there because of what? Their sins. How blind can you be? They were so blind. But Jesus made himself of no reputation. He didn't care what they said. He was going to do what his heavenly Father told him to do. Do you want unity? You got to have humility. But made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of sinful man, being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient even to the point of death, even the death of the cross. You might say, Pastor, it's hard to humble myself if you knew how good I really was. It is so hard. Well, that may be true in some ways, but I guarantee you this. Whatever you think of yourself, Jesus Christ is much greater than you are, and you will ever be. And if you would humble yourself, you'd be amazed how God could bless your life and use you. Because the thing about pride, it's the only thing that makes everybody else sick except for the person that has it. Isn't that true?
Yes,
sir. That's so true. So if you want to be great in God's sight, we'll turn back over here to Ephesians. What does that say? Ephesians chapter 1. You want to walk worthy? All lowliness. Be a humble person. Listen to other people's opinions. And give them some space to have some ideas. You ever heard the saying, my way or the highway? If you've got that label on your back, that's not a good label to carry around. I've known people that have had that label. But for a Christian, we should have lowliness, like our Savior was humble. Gentleness. Do you think some politicians could use some more gentleness in how they speak to and how they treat people? You know, these qualities in our nation, in our churches, in our families, will be a great blessing to promote unity. With all lowliness, gentleness, long-suffering, that's being patient, bearing with one another in love. It's like one person said, I don't get mad, I just get even. That doesn't sound very loving, does it? No. You want to promote God's kingdom? You want to strengthen a nation? Bear with one another in love. Now, do some people get under your skin? Yes or no? Okay, I get it. They do. If I was to ask everybody that's crossed your path in life, did you ever get under their skin? I bet you they could come up with a few times that you probably did some things that got under their skin too. And be careful how quick you judge others, because you probably have got some faults your own way coming at you. Why do we be patient with one another in their faults? Because guess who's patient with me? God is patient with me. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain what? Mercy. You want to attain God's mercy? You be merciful. You be patient with others that rub you the wrong way. Be careful giving people a piece of your mind. You give away too much of your mind, you won't have anything left after a while when you give them a piece of your mind. Okay, so humility, gentleness, patience, long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, that love factor. Verse 3, it rolls into verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. Why? God's Spirit is working to bring people together. Now, I don't know if you look at life this way. Suppose you had a neighbor that dumped his grass clippings on your yard, okay? He mowed his lawn and just dumped them over the fence on your yard. And you looked at that and said, your neighbor's unsaved. If you went over there and just threw his glass clippings right in his convertible of his car, I just would like you to put a gospel track in his car and his windshield when you finish that. How would that go over? Do you understand? Sometimes, for the sake of God's kingdom, you don't blow a sinner out of the water, because they'll never respect anything you say. You understand what I'm saying? And sometimes we've got to be careful, because we want the unity of the Spirit. You could say to your neighbor that dumped his grass clippings over on your side of the fence, you know, I noticed you put your glass clippings over there. If I was an unsafe person, I would have dumped them in your convertible. But I'm a Christian. I want to tell you something. That irritated me, but I want to tell you what you really need is the Lord. And you could go 1,000 different ways with it, but you could take it as an opportunity to go talk to them and use it for the furtherance of God's kingdom. Because that's the bigger picture. The unity of the Spirit is to bring unsaved to be converted, to bring into God's kingdom, endeavoring to keep. That word endeavoring is, there are certain qualities you need to have, but it takes intentional effort. Point three, unity takes intentional effort, endeavoring. Endeavoring to keep the unity. You have to work at it. I just remember Jim Cimbala talking to his people about, if anybody ever says anything about me that they don't like, that I offended them, did something wrong, would you bring them to me? And this lady had somebody start talking about how Pastor Jim did this and he did that, and she said to that person telling her that, oh, really? He's just right down the hallway. Let's go talk to him about that. And that person wouldn't go. Now, what was that person doing? Keeping the unity of what? The faith. Because if you have a grievance with somebody, you don't talk about them behind their back. You go to them and you deal with it. It's intentional. You want to be intentional keeping the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Verse 3, and you have to be intentional to keep unity, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Because where there's unity, there's going to be what? Peace. Could America use some more peace in our land? We're a divided nation because people are not living out verse 1, verse 2, verse 3. Now, Paul gives us an example here. In verse 4, case you don't quite bring the focus here of the unity, there is one body and one Spirit. That's the Church of Jesus Christ. One body of Christ, one Holy Spirit, there's unity there. Just as you were called in one hope of your calling. You got saved, guess what? Everybody else got saved the same way you did. You think you're special? All these other people are special too, because God saved them just like He saved you. There's one hope of your calling. There's only one way to get saved. One Lord Jesus Christ. Now, verse 4, you have the Holy Spirit. Verse 5, one Lord Jesus Christ, you have the second person of the Trinity. One faith. There's only one way to get saved. One Christian baptism by immersion. One God. Now, verse 6, you have God the Father. Verse 4, the Holy Spirit. Verse 5, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 6, God the Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Let me ask you, is there any tension in the Trinity? Is there any tension? No, they have unity and harmony because they have all the God-like qualities working together in perfect harmony. Can a church work together? Can a nation work together? Can a family work together? Bring all these qualities together and you're going to have peace. And Paul gives an example here. There's peace in the Trinity. There's harmony in the Trinity. There's unity in the Trinity. And if there's disunity, something is missing. It's not because God can't give you the example of the power. It's because somebody's not walking in humility, and somebody's not walking in gentleness, and somebody's not walking in patience, and somebody's not walking in love, and somebody's not trying to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. The problem's with man and not with God. Because there's one body and one Spirit and one hope of our calling. He gives us example. Now, where does all this take us? A nation is made up of individuals. It is. A nation is made up of individuals. If we have enough individuals living for God, honoring God, we'll have a united nation. We'll have a country that's united around each other. A home can be strengthened if there's division in the home. Somebody has to take the high road. Forgive others as you have been forgiven. Love your enemies. Can you have enemies in your own household? Can you? You can. Love your enemies. There are things we can do to bring unity and harmony to a broken situation where there's division. God is calling us here in verse 1, to walk worthy of the calling we were called. In closing here, I want to challenge you. Is there some disunity, some division somewhere that you're aware of? A family relationship, a marital relationship, a work relationship, in our nation? Could be school, could be political. God says, let your light so shine before men that they may see what? Your good works. And who's going to be glorified by that? Let men see your good works that you may glorify your heavenly Father. This week, can you have some good works to glorify Him by endeavoring to keep the unity of the faith and the bond of peace, the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace? Let's pray here this morning. Heavenly Father, we as God's people, it is so challenging in this world we live in. People call good evil and evil good and put light for darkness and darkness for light. And God, our world's in a mess. But Lord, help us as believers to endeavor, to be intentional. We would try to promote unity and harmony and peace among people. That Lord, that we could be instruments of your righteousness and instruments of truth and holiness. Lord, you've called us to be holy, for thou art holy. Lord, help us, and help us to see our own selves as you see us, God. Sometimes we evaluate ourselves by our own measurements, but God, may we evaluate ourselves against the Word of God and the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Lord, don't let us deceive our own selves, thinking we are somebody we're not. But God, purify us and help us to walk worthy of the name that we're called by. Lord, help us promote holiness in our homes and in our church and in our nation. God, let us not just go with the flow and let anything just go by. But Lord, help us call evil, evil, and good, good. Help us call darkness, dark, and call the light, light. Help us be those that work for unity and harmony and goodwill among people, even when it's hard, God, even when we got to make the sacrifices, even when we got to humble ourselves and say we're sorry to people that we've offended because we said something in a proud and arrogant way and condescending way that offended them. God, when we humble ourselves before others and before you, that there can be peace and unity once again. Oh, Lord, search our hearts. Oh, Lord, do what only you can do. Lord, the days pass so quickly. Eternity's coming. Help us not to tarry in what we know we ought to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Our closing hymn is 431 as Jim comes to lead us here.
Let's stand.
Would you close our service in prayer for us and ask the Lord's blessing on us?
Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to get together in fellowship today. You've blessed this country greatly. We're clay vessels, but I pray that we would be as much as possible worthy of your blessing. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee and make his face to shine upon you. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.